Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, otakus, weebs, nerds, geeks, we want to welcome you back to your one and only podcast for your anime, gaming, and pop culture. Geek Out with DJ and Trip. I'm your host, DJ, alongside my homie, Trip. And today we're going to be bringing you guys the news. And on today's itinerary, we got some anime news. And boy, do I tell you, we got some good news coming for the anime community. And first, we're going to start off with just the anime that's going to be coming out for, you know, within the next couple months. Starting off our list, we got Rising of a Shield Hero Season 3. And this is going to be done by Kima Citrus Studios alongside Haga Studios. As some of you may know, Kima Citrus Studios was the studio that originally did Season 1 and 2 of Rise of a Shield Hero, but now they have a little bit of help with Haga Studios coming in to help them with Season 3. Date for this is going to be the fall of this year, so fall 2023. Not an exact date as of now, but I would assume it's probably within, you know, next couple months, probably here in like October, November type area. So we'll just have to sit back and wait and see. We'll give you more information on that once we get closer to it. And for those of you that don't know about this anime, just to give you a little synopsis of it, so we're following a hero by the name of Nafumi. And he's summoned to another world alongside three other young men that pretty much become the world's four great cardinal heroes to fight these interdimensional hordes of monsters and bosses, and they're called waves. So each one of these young men are equipped with a weapon, sword, spear, bow, but Natsumi, he gets a shield, which is mainly for defense. But the other three heroes, they get, you know, weapons that are pretty much made for attacking. And he's kind of like, you know, what the fuck? Why I get the shield, man? I can't be cool and be a, you know, a badass hero with a shield. So he's dealing with that. And then, you know, the other three heroes quickly gain renown and respect within the kingdom, but Nafumi doesn't have that same look. He ain't getting that, you know, that same renown, that same, you know, respect from the kingdom as all the other three heroes that were summoned. They kind of shunning him and kind of like looking at him as like, you know, why is he even here? Why was he even summoned? So, you know, he's already got his back against the wall with that. So in the beginning, you know, they start forming their parties. Nafumi didn't get anybody for that reason. You know, people are looking at him sideways, like they don't want to join his team. But this one girl, who is the daughter of the king, she wants to join him. And later on, she betrays him and accuses him of rape and misdeeds and gets him exiled from the kingdom. So now he's forced to go and train and leave the kingdom and work on his own so that he can find his own way to take down these waves without the help of any of the kingdom or the heroes. And I'm telling you, this is a really good anime. Season 1 was fucking amazing for this anime. Season 2 was kind of a eh. You know, it was like, it could have been a whole lot better, but you know, hopefully they bring it back with Season 3. And that's kind of like my expectation for this anime, or like my prediction. I think Season 3 is going to be a little bit better. I'm just hoping it's better, because Season 1 was great. It was phenomenal. Season 2 felt like it was kind of rushed, and like they could have took their time with it and really fleshed out more of the story and really, you know, expanded that on that new season that they had started, that new like task, or like the new enemy that they were facing. They could have like really just like stretched it out a little bit more. So hopefully they get to redeem themselves with Season 3. I'm excited for it, and I'm ready to see what they do for Season 3, because, you know, this is a really good anime, and this is definitely in, like, my top 20 of, you know, great anime. So, moving on from that, man, next we got Tokyo Revengers Season 3. Man, bro, when I tell you, I'm so excited for this. When I seen it, they had confirmed that this mud was coming out, and it's coming out the fall of this year. Like in October, I don't know the exact date, but you know, in October that mug is coming out, and it's gonna be fucking amazing.
That first season was a banger.
Yeah, first season was fucking nice. I mean, it was nice.
Black Air Force energy all the way.
Yeah, man. So pretty much with Tokyo Avengers, just to kind of give you guys a quick rundown of it. So We're following the main character whose name is
a bitch.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, as I look up his name,
a bum.
Yeah, everything that Tripp is saying is definitely true about this character. But you know, he somehow has the power to be able to travel back in time, and the reason he does it is because he wants to go back in time to stop the death of some woman that he really loved.
Simping
and
for
in doing so, he said simping for Lord Jesus, and in doing so, he, you know, ends up joining what is known as one of the most well-renowned fucking gangs in all of Tokyo. And this motherfucking gang, like, believe it or not, this gang, and when he goes back, is run by a fucking 15-year-old. I just want to make this clear. This motherfucker is 15 years old, okay? This dude is 15 years old.
We're going to leave it at that, because the shit he does.
And he is running one of the most feared and notorious gangs in fucking Tokyo. Like, let that sink in. Let's just literally let that sink in. All right, so I got it right here. So this story follows Takemichi, a 20-year-old fritter with a gloomy life. He learns that his ex-girlfriend, Hinata Tachibana, has died in a dispute involving the Tokyo Majin group. The Tokyo Majin gang, excuse me. The next day, while he's returning from a part-time job, Takemichi gets pushed off the subway platform by somebody. As he's about to be hit, he jumps back in time 12 years. He happens to have returned to the year he was dating Hinata, and then Takemichi makes the decision to do everything to prevent her death in the future. That's how he ended up getting involved with that gang, because he's doing all this to save the life of the woman he loved from 12 years ago, Hinata. And you'll see throughout the anime, you know, once he joins his group, he goes directly, you know, talks to her, checks on her, tries to make sure that he's safe. He's doing everything in his power to make sure that she is protected and that future where she dies doesn't happen. But in doing so, he changes the future a few times throughout this anime, where he ends up having to, you know, undo some of the things he does, or undo some actions that cause certain events to happen in the future, because he doesn't want that. She's trying to stop what happened to Hinata from happening. So that's kind of the whole premise of this.
It's like Flashpoint. It's like Flashpoint on steroids.
Hell yeah, it is. And then, you know, like, with this anime, it's so many good things to say about this anime, bro. Like, I like to say it, the studio that's doing this is Linden Films. They were the ones that did seasons 1 and 2, so they've done phenomenal work with this anime already. Man, expectations, predictions for this, it's gonna be the hottest thing on the block once it comes out, because I don't think anything else is gonna really be able to compete with it as far as returning anime sex, like just coming with, like, you know, next seasons or season 3s, you know, whatever it is. So, like, I'm ready to see what the fuck happened, because, like, season 2, without spoiling any of y'all, because my boy Tripp ain't watched it all the way, season 2 left us on a cliffhanger. And that bitch was atrocious. So I'm ready to see what happens for season 3. And if you know what I'm talking about with season 2's cliffhanger, then you know we, like, want answers. We want to know what the fuck is going on. We want to know how this shit is going to play out, for sure. So, like, be ready for that. That's going to be exciting to watch, for sure.
And season 2 is where old buddy got arrested for killing old dude. Is green hair, yellow hair dude behind the scenes the whole time orchestrating shit. Was that season 2?
With the glasses?
Yeah.
Glasses, okay, okay. Yeah,
I think I seen season 2. Okay, I think I seen it. But what was I finna say? Jujutsu Kaisen. You talking about when didn't somebody die?
Somebody did die, but in the future though.
Yeah,
it was one of the gang members.
The brother. Yo. Wasn't it the brother? Yeah, Draco. Yo. Draco. Yeah. That's why he my own.
Draken, man. His name Draken. That man, was that Draco. Draco. Okay, he gave him a new name, Draco.
That's my boy.
Yeah, bro. That's why I'm like so ready, because you remember Well, I ain't gonna spoil it for the people that haven't even watched it yet, but like bro, like that shit left us on a cliffhanger, bro. Like, we want answers, like, we want to know what the fuck is about to happen. Like, for real.
And it's been good for 2 years. Yeah, that's another one coming out this year. The Shibuya Arc incident. Well, it's really station, Shibuya Station, cause that's where they at. They at the train station. And it's about to turn up. Just like old buddy dying in Tokyo Revengers.
Yeah.
A couple people is about to be on shirt.
It's gonna be a Kami got killed all over again.
Facts. I'm gonna leave it at that. So that's another one that's coming this year. Well, coming in the fall. And I think it dropped today or yesterday. So I'm finna go look at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gonna be good, bro. Like, it's a lot of good stuff coming this fall, man. Like, we got a lot of good stuff coming this fall. And then now transitioning to, you know, some new anime that's getting ready to come out. I think this one should be on, like, I think this one is a good one to watch out for. This one's called Ragna Crimson. And it's slated to come out this month, September 30th of this year. And the studio that's doing this one is called Silverlink. So just to give y'all a little synopsis of this one. So we got Dragon Hunters. Yeah, that's what I said, Dragon Hunters. Warriors armed with silver weapons who kill their prey for bounty. Lowest among their ranks is Ragna, who forms a partnership with a young genius named Lenica, the Master Dragon Slayer. And this bitch got more bodies than any other Dragon Slayer in the kingdom. All Ragna wants to do is stay by her side. But that's shattered when the deadliest dragon attacks. Alright, so Trip, tell me, from hearing that little synopsis of Ragna Crimson, what do you expect, or what do you think? Like, what would your predictions for this anime be? Like, what do you think is gonna happen? Like, what do you think will happen? Do you think it's gonna be a hit? Do you think it's gonna be a miss? Like, how do you feel that this junk gonna do?
With new people, newcomers, I think it's gonna be a hit, but I can predict a lot of crime. It's gonna be a lot of crime and a rags to riches story. Like, we're gonna see him come up and become, you know,
for
the greatest.
For sure. It's definitely gonna be that. Like, I looked at a little bit of the visuals for it. Like, visuals are amazing. Like, it's really nice. The visuals for this one is really, they look top tier, I ain't gonna lie. But yeah, like,
CGI,
you said, it's
gonna be
like
CGI.
I didn't see that much of it. They didn't show like too much, but like, so far, like, from the trailers that are out right now, which I suggest, like, any of these anime that we're talking about, you guys go check out the trailers, because, you know, you can form your own opinion from these. But yeah, from the trailer I watched, it's looking nice. I ain't even gonna lie, like, visually stunning. And it looked like it's gonna be, like you said, it's gonna be a hit with newcomers. It kind of put me in the mindset of like Fairy Tail meets like Berserk.
That's the vibe I got. I got Fairy Tail, and I was gonna say not Berserk, but Tower of God.
Yeah, like, I think Tower, that's a better God. One to explain it. That's a better one to explain it, honestly. So, like, yeah, it's definitely that, like, those vibes I get from it. I think it's gonna be a really good one. I think it's gonna be one of those ones, like, it's gonna be a good watch. It might not be like, you know, one of those things that's gonna be like, oh, like, over the top hype, but it's definitely gonna be a good watch, though, like, without a doubt. I would say it's probably gonna be like, what's an anime that like is really good but isn't overhyped? I would probably say it's probably gonna be along the lines of Eminence and Shadow. Like, Eminence and Shadow is good. Like, the people that have watched it are like, yeah, like, this is some good shit. Like, this is a fucking badass anime. I feel like it's gonna be kind of like that.
Or like Hell's Paradise. A lot of people don't talk about Hell's Paradise, but like, the story finished.
Man.
The story finished, and it was a good ending. And the manga did good. The anime is doing good, and a lot of people's not talking about it. But it's a banger.
Show. All right, and then one of the next ones I got, man, you know how I am with my sports anime, and this one This one's gonna be good, I think. It's like it looked like it was gonna be visually pleasing. So it's one called Overtake. This is a racing anime. So if you were a fan of Speed Racer and all those racing anime, I think we got us something good with this one, bro. I think we got a good one with this one. This is like your new gen Speed Racer. And this one is being done by Studio Kadokawa. And I'm pretty sure a lot of you know about them. They've been like indoctrinated in like making visually appealing and just, you know, been running a lot of shit in the anime adaptation when it comes to, you know, taking mangas and making them anime or animating them. They've been doing a great job. So this is slated to come out October 1st of this year. And the synopsis of this is the story we're pretty much following a freelance photographer by the name of Koya Matakoa. And he had a great reputation as a photojournalist, but there was a time where he was in a slump with his creative thinking, and he winds up crossing paths with a high school F4 racer named Haruka Ashina. And Haruka is a racer who takes pride in not needing support from anybody. So they end up forming this unlikely, like, little bond friendship where Koa is trying to, you know, support Haruka and, you know, get his name out there, showcase his talents, because he sees how amazing he is as a driver, and he wants to get him like exposure and get him like, you know, in front of like, you know, all the lights and everything. So this one, I think it's gonna be great, just because, you know, it's gonna be a story. I feel like it's gonna be a story of camaraderie, people learning to, you know, just, you know, come together and help one another. And like I said, if you're a fan of Speed Racer when you were growing up, I think this is gonna be the new gen anime of racing for us all to grab a hold on and enjoy, for sure.
You had me a Speed Racer.
Like, I'm serious. Like, you can go and check that mug out. Like, look at the trailers. The thumbnail speaks for itself. I mean, once you see the thumbnail, you just like, yeah, this definitely Speed Racer vibes. It's definitely, I even think like the little, like, it's not identical, but I think it's a white racing car that has similarities to the Speed Racer car. It's just a newer, like, you know, a newer design, obviously. Like a more up-to-date design, but it's definitely giving me like, you know, Speed Racer, like Speed Racer qualities were Speed Racer qualities were taken over, inspired this anime, kind of, you know. And then another anime that's gonna be getting its season two is Far Away Paladin, and the studio that is doing this one is Sunrise Beyond, along with S1 Children's Playground Entertainment. And this is slated to come out October 7th of this year. And just to give y'all a little bit of synopsis on this one, because I watched Far Away Paladin, and this anime was actually recommended to me by my little brother, believe it or not. I used to be the one recommending everything to him, but, you know, now he started becoming a vet in anime, he be recommending stuff to me, and he be recommending me some good shit now, I ain't gonna lie. So just to give y'all a little bit on this one. So we're in a ruined city far from human civilization, and there lives this single kid named Will, and he's raised by these three undead. So you got Blood, who is the heroic skeleton warrior, Mary, who is this mummy priestess that's kind of, you know, like his motherly figure, and then you got Gus, who is a ghostly wizard, but he's just like a cranky old man, but he has so much knowledge and wisdom.
What was the name of the second one?
Mary?
Oh, I was going to say, because that's Blood, Sweat, and Guts. But anyway.
But the dude name was Gus, by the way. But yeah, the three of them, like, pretty much are like parental. Like, so Gus, not Gus. So, like, Blood and Mary are, like, his parental figures, while Gus is, like, that great-grandfather that, you know, instills wisdom and character and all that into him. But pretty much they teach him everything that they know. They pour love into him. And then one day Will starts to wonder, like, who am I? What the fuck is going on? Why are these undead around me? What am I to them? You know, he starts to, you know, have questions. And he starts to uncover the mysteries of his undead parental figures, and that he's in a faraway land. But he learns the love of and mercy of good gods, as well as the paranoia and madness of evil gods, because they start to explain things to him once he, you know, become, once he gets of age, when he starts asking those questions. And so when he learns all that, he goes to embark on his own journey to becoming a paladin himself. And a paladin is pretty much an all-knowing title with an all-powerful title. So you're pretty much versed in magic, but you're also versed in knowledge as well. And I won't lie to you, this is a really good anime. This is a really nice anime. I can't remember if it's an isekai or not. I don't think it is, but I might be wrong. I had to double check that. But yeah, it's a really good anime to watch, man. Like I said, my little brother was the one that recommended it to me. And when I watched it, I was hooked on it from the first few episodes, and I just kept watching it all the way through. I didn't think it was gonna get a second season, because I just thought it was one of those things they were just trying to get it out there just to, you know, help the manga get some notoriety or get some exposure. But like, when I seen it got its second season, I was like, oh, I'm here for it. Because this is a great anime. It's wholesome. It'll pull at your emotions, especially when you see like the connection that those three undead, Blood, Mary, and Gus, like the connection that they have with Will. Like, it's definitely like a parental like connection. And, you know, I think it's got a very good story with him. And we're going to get to see a lot of his character develop for season two, which is going to be really nice to see. Because he has such a pure and innocent like characteristics about himself, and then like towards the end of season one, he actually has a battle against like one of these forces of, I ain't gonna say evil, but like one of these bad, like these evil gods, and that kind of like, you know, starts to change him and even makes him question things even more. And that's why he wants to set out on this journey, because he wants to really go out and see like what the world is like aside from where he's grown up with you know, those three parental figures. So it's a very good watch. Like I said, definitely recommend to anybody that's just wanting something to, you know, watch, to, you know, get the, just to see like a fantasy action adventure type of anime. This is definitely a good one to watch. What do you think about that?
Yeah, sounds like a good watch. What was the name of it again?
Faraway Paladin.
Faraway Paladin. It reminds me of this manga that ended abruptly because I guess it wasn't getting enough popularity. I think it was called Gwenchen. And it was about this boy. Instead of undead, it was a snowman. And the snowman basically taught, I think it was a her, taught her magic, but yeah, she had an affinity for magic. So once her magic rose to a level where they could, you know, sense her, they went after her. So the snowman was like, well, you know, I can't follow you to, you know, train as a wizard, but, you know, I can tell you where to go. Because it turns out he was like the grand wizard, but was cursed to a snowman's body. And yeah, he got so strong that she was able to like bind him not only to the snowman, but the snowman can't melt. So now he can go with her. Oh, really? And yeah, so it was good when I was reading it, but then it ended. So I think this is a more refined version of that. Yeah. But yeah, definitely sounds like something I watch.
Oh yeah, I think so too, without a doubt. All right, and then next thing I got for you guys, it's another new anime that's getting ready to come out. This one is called Undead Unluck. All right.
But is anime coming out for it?
Oh. Yep. It is coming out soon too, bro. It's coming out October 6th of this year.
But let me do the synopsis on this, because I've actually okay, read go this. Ahead.
Hit me with it, baby. Hit me with it.
All right, let me get their names, because yeah, I literally was just reading that. It came out 2 years ago as a new anime. It's not a part of the big three because of Demon Slayer took his spot, but they came out at the same time literally. And basically what is this girl name? Basically, it's
Fuku.
It's what?
Fuku.
Yeah. So Fuku is an unlucky girl. Damn near a power at this point. So anybody that comes close to her becomes unlucky. You know, it's like it seems like it happens to her, but it's actually happening to the people surrounding her. It's damn near like a power. So she end up meeting this guy who's undead. So he can get close to her, not only get close to her, but protect her. And I think the first interaction they had was, I think a plane came down and hit him. And he, you know, put himself back together. He's like Deadpool without the jokes. And there's only been one person to like damage him, which further on along the story, you know, you find out about this organization. It's kind of like Hunter x Hunter, where you have people who actually have powers and they hunt, you know, people who are out here doing things illegally. So they end up joining so she can, because she finds out that's the actual power she has. And she joined to train. He joined to find the person that scarred him, because he forgets his memory, and that one memory, that's where he's damaged at. So you follow these two, the unlucky girl and the undead man, and they go first, they go training, but at the same time, it's just like, it's a good read. It's like trying to think of something. It's kind of like Chainsaw Man without the seriousness behind it. It's still goofy as hell. I like it. I like her. But what do you think about that? What do you think about that? Like seeing the trailers and stuff. What do you think about it? Because I like it.
It did. Like, I ain't gonna lie. It kind of gives me Soul Eater vibes.
Yeah. It has like an old ass to it.
Yeah, but I like that though. And then, you know, one thing that I found out too was when I was looking at it, it's being directed by Yuki Yasi, and he's the director of Fire Force. And right there, I think that speaks for itself. Like, this is going to be a really good anime to watch.
Because it's going to be a lot of special effects because of how he fights. He fights.
Yeah.
He's like chaos incarnate. I remember one time the dude cut his arm off and he just kind of used it as a bat and started beating the dude with his own arm. And then, like, he attached it back and punched the dude with the arm. Or, like...
Yeah.
He used the healing factor to make it stronger or something. Like, he's able to predict, like, say if he blow up, he's able to use like him coming back together as a weapon. Like, it's dope. Like, his whole power is dope. She, on the other hand, the ridiculousness of her unluck is the funniest shit ever. And he kind of uses her.
She's gonna be the comedy one, huh?
She's the silent comedy. So she's like his she's like his backpack. He knows something's finna happen and I'm not gonna die, but I'm gonna use her ability to kill you.
So he uses it like a weapon.
Yeah, it's like, well, I don't know what's finna happen. Oh, look at that piano coming out the sky for no reason, and boom, you know what I'm saying, it hits both of them. All he gotta do is protect her. That's all he got to do. As if he can survive whatever unluck happens, it's a win-win in his book.
I bet he gonna use that unluck like in so many different ways to like just beat some enemies' asses. It's gonna be funny to see how that shit happen. I'm ready to see like how many like cause you know it's gonna be just like comical throughout the whole thing with them fights and her unluck. You know that shit gonna have you in stitches how some of these fights gonna play out.
Facts. Matter of fact, since we got a video camera or whatever, we record, see if I can pull up the first little scene. Right.
While you do that,
I'm right, that's,
okay,
so that's her, that's Fuku right there.
Yep. You know,
little girl, and then that's him.
Oh yeah, that motherfucker like he straight out of jail. Goddammit.
I think so.
You lying?
He came out of somewhere.
He immortal. What the hell? He come from hell?
So like she was trying to kill herself. That's how it starts off. She was trying to kill herself.
Yeah.
And he walked up to her.
She had finished the manga. Was like ready to end it all.
And he was like, I've been trying to kill myself. He was like, ain't shit to me. Then he fucking falls off the bridge. The man falls off the bridge. And gets hit that's by a bus. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
The man gets hit by a bus. Instead of getting isekai, you know, he's just ahead, you know, yelling. And he end up and he end up putting his body back together, but when he does it, he's naked. So I love their connection. I love it.
Oh yeah, that's definitely gonna be one of those ones that you definitely want to watch it because of the comedy relief it's gonna have. The comical aspects are gonna make that a good anime to watch. Just a tick of your fancy.
And the what the fuck moments is really, I'm finna start back reading. The what the fuck moments is just crazy.
I can believe it. Alright. And then this next one, bro, I think this next one's gonna be really good too, by the way. It's getting ready to come out soon too. So it's called The Kingdoms of Ruin. And this one is being done by Yokohama Animation Lab. This is the studio that's gonna be animating this one. And it's coming out in October 2023. I don't know what the exact date is as of now, but I will keep you guys updated and posted on that once I do. So, just to give you a synopsis, this is a new anime that's getting ready to come out too, by the way. I'm going to give y'all a synopsis, bar for bar, word for word, what I read. They don't have any trailer for this one yet, so I have to, you know, keep looking for that. But, you know, the little screenshots or like little pictures that they posted, it looks fucking phenomenal. The visuals are gonna be pretty good. All right, so synopsis is, for ages humanity flourished through the power of magic, a gift from witches to aid mankind. You already know from this how it's gonna go. The damn man gonna try to rise against the witches and, you know, take their powers. So let's see. But times have changed. The scientific gear expansion has made both magic and witches obsolete. In order to liberate humanity from the blight of magic, the mighty Rita Empire began a ruthless hunt to exterminate all witches. Adonis was only a boy when the hunt began, an apprentice to a witch he dearly loved. When she perishes at the hands of the Empire, Adonis vows revenge. By this furious wizard's power, blood will flow. That was a synopsis, bar for bar, bro. Synopsis, bar for bar.
Okay, that sound pretty good.
Yeah,
I wish.
That's what I said.
I wish they did an anime for Fire Punch. Because Fire Punch is kind of the same thing. Like, it's witches, but they don't just like say, oh, we exterminate witches. They just try to exterminate anybody with magic powers or whatever the case may be. And there's these two siblings that was using a magic to help a village, you know, away from civilization. And the Empire ended up coming, killing everybody. And I think their power was they was immortal. And they was cutting pieces of their limbs and, you know, cooking it for the people. Mm-hmm. And when they try to kill them, they was like, oh, y'all, you know, don't die. We got something for that. So they found somebody that had magic. And his magic was his fire do not extinguish. You get hit with his fire, you're going to be burning for the rest of your life until you die. So he hits the sister, and her powers is lesser than the brother's. So, yeah, you know, she wasn't able to recoup. She was like, man, I just want to die. So she ended up just like giving up or whatever, and like learning how to control her power to where she could cut it off. She died. So the brother, seeing her, you know, in agony and pain, you know, vows revenge. So instead of him giving up, made his power stronger to a point where he was able to heal. It took like 10 years. The man was on fire for 10 years and got it to a point. He got it to a point where he healed, where he's only burning half his face, like this part of his face, and his fist. And his fist is burning. So when he punched, so when he punched somebody, they get that unextinguishable fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he wants to use that same fire to punch the dude that killed his sister. So he vowed, like, I'm gonna keep my hand on fire. He's used to pain now. I'm gonna keep this fire. The bitch slapped that nigga with his own shit.
I love it. I love the revenge story. I think revenge stories just make for good anime anyway. That's kind of how this one is. It's just going to be, you know, it's pretty much following that same formula. You know, young child, you know, has an attachment to, like, this teacher mentor, sees that teacher mentor, like, fucking decimated in front of them, and then just, like, turns like black on the inside, like anything that has to deal with you motherfuckers that fucking killed the person that I love, I'm gonna fucking vanquish all of you, you can, and everything. Yeah, we love our child losing loved ones, then seeking revenge as they get older. MCs and anime, they make for good stories, you know. So we love
just like John Wick, Equalizer, like it's a good story plot.
Because we all, you know,
That's why Trunks was
shit like that happened. I would do it. I would do the same shit.
Like, we felt that when Trunks, you know what I'm saying, saw Gohan die. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what made him popular. It wasn't because at first it was the sword, but then once we got the backstory, it's like, you are favorite character now, bro. You got the juice. You can't lose it. We don't care if you still the weakest person on the squad, you are favorite character. You know what I'm saying? That's why Goku Black was so good, because it's like, damn, this is a revenge story still. So, you know, they reeled us back in.
But yeah, for sure that. And but what I say with this anime, it's definitely gonna have some good visuals, because like I said, it's gonna be magic. It's gonna be some good fights. Like, I think that's what's gonna be stunning about this, because just from like the artwork I saw, the visuals are gonna be fucking nice. Like, for real. The visuals are gonna be nice. So I really want to see how the magic and like the fights are gonna play out, and what kind of magic they're gonna be using. So that's why I'm kind of excited to see it. And then of course the storyline, I want to see how that's gonna play out. So I mean, it's not gonna be like it's like gonna be anything that we haven't already seen before. But you know, I just want to see how it's gonna play out. I probably say it won't be like top tier. It probably won't have too much hype behind it, but it's definitely gonna be a good one. To, you know, just like have something to watch. And then that goes into my next anime, and I think this one's gonna be one that's like it's gonna be a comical one too, but it's more so like it's like a serious comedy also. So this one is called I gotta make sure I say his name right too, Ron Kaminohashi, Deranged Detective, and that's coming out October 2nd of this year. So, just a little synopsis on this. Despite lacking the skills suited for his role on the Metropolitan Police Department investigation team, Totomaru Ishiki wants to solve murders and help people. Following the advice of one of his seniors, he ventures out to enlist the aid of the reclusive Ron Kaminohashi. 5 years ago, Ron was the most promising detective from the illustrious Detective Training Academy Blue. Yet, for reasons unknown to the public, he sank into obscurity. Totomaru expects a well-dressed, composed man, but what he gets is a messy-haired and uninhibited eccentric. After years in solitude, Ron barely resembles his former self and refuses to even hear out the detective. However, as quickly as Ron rebuffs, he flips on a dime and dives headfirst into the current serial murder case. The true reason Ron withdrew from the detective world was not from lack of desire, but rather from something out of his control. And Totomaru might just be the key for his return to his former calling. Together, the wide-eyed officer and deranged detective tackle each mystery that comes their way. And this one has a trailer out too. And I was expecting it to be more of a serious, like, detective anime being real. But it's got comedy to it. It's got comedy to it.
Because when you described him. Yeah, when you described him, I knew then. I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be funny. Like, anybody that retires for no reason, they don't give a shit about serious. There ain't nothing serious to them no more. Nigga, I was the best. I retired, nigga. I don't care no more.
Because, like, even when I watched the trailer for it, you know, you think it's, like, it's two trailers. I watched two of them. So, like, the first trailer is just, like, showing, like, visuals of it and kind of, like, the characters and, like, the setting and everything. And a little bit of story. And from that trailer, you think this is going to be like a serious murder mystery type, like, of anime. Like, we're going to be on for a ride. Like, I was thinking, like, it had me thinking, like, psychopaths for a minute, but just, you know, like, as detectives. And I was like, okay, I'm for this. But then that second trailer confirmed the comedy for me, because the guy actually went and visited Ron. In the trailer, like, it was showing everything. The guy they was talking about, I forget his name already. What was his name? Totomaru. Yeah, him. He goes and visits Ron. It shows him going to visit Ron. And Ron answers the door. And he just, like, sitting up on the door like this. And he just looking at him. And dude asked him the question. He didn't show him asking the question. But you knew he asked him the question to come and help him. And he just looking at him like this. Hair in his eyes and everything. You can't even really see his face. You just see this part. He just looking at him like, nope. Then close the door. I was like, yeah, this shit better just be funny. Ron gonna be the fucking comical one.
Hell yeah, it'll be funny. Like, if, like, an anime like that, like, show, like, a person smoking crack, like, you know what I'm saying, like, have an addiction, like, hold on, let me just smoke this crack.
Ron looked like he a crack addict, the way he looked like he a daggone, like, hobo, for real, bro. But he kind of, like, his appearance give me Light Yagami vibes, but when you hear him talk, it's like, nah, you just a weirdo.
What you been doing this whole time? I've been smoking crack. What you think I've been doing?
Been minding my business. That's what I'm doing. Why you come
smoking crack? And been minding my business, cause crack is minding mine. So I'm minding it. God damn it.
But yeah, like, his main reason is gonna make him a funny character. I think the story with them two, I think their dynamics are gonna really really sell this anime to be a good one. Just cause you got that serious, you know, trying to do things by the book, you know, type of character that's just, like, looking for this, like, well-dressed expert to be able to come and help him so he can, you know, elevate in his career. And then he get, like, this, the complete opposite of what he was expecting. He just gets, like, the complete opposite. And then I just think he just, like, you know, what hope do I have? What hope do I have with this motherfucker? Like, he ain't gonna be able to help me with shit. He can't even help himself find a different outfit. Like, he can't even help himself find a brush. Like, this motherfucker hair all in his fucking face and shit. Need a fucking haircut. How he gonna be able to help me see what the fuck going on? So I think it's gonna be a really funny one to watch. Alright, man. Shoot. That's all the anime getting ready to come out for this, like, for the fall. What most of, that's not all of them, but that's the main ones that I definitely want you guys to be on the lookout for. So, like, my two big hitters that definitely should be on y'all radar, man. We got two of them. They aren't slated until next year. And the first one, man, if you hadn't seen any of the hype surrounding this anime yet, then you need to get on it. It's all over on all socials. I mean, everywhere you look, this one being talked about. And people can't wait for it to come out. And that's Solo Leveling. Man, Trip, you want to talk about Solo Leveling since you already said that's your baby?
I read Solo Leveling. And, like, it's kind of like Hunter x Hunter on the hiatus part. Because I think it's on hiatus right now, or they're just not uploading it to Webtoons no more. But basically, you got, I can't remember that man's name. You got your Wu, we're gonna call him Wu Tang. Yeah, so Wu Tang, we got Wu Tang, who is basically like the lowest of low when it comes to hunters. So these hunters, they go on these exhibitions where they go into these chambers and rifts and like either kill what's in there and take it over and try to profit from what's in there, or they go in there to take something like a weapon or, you know, a beast or something to profit from. So they make their money from what they find. So with him, he don't even contribute to the team that he's on. He's just like there for support. So one mission he goes on with, you know, a good squad. So it's going to be good reward. So he think he's finna
he's gonna come up right here.
Yeah, he think he's gonna come up, you know, pay for something for his sister. I think her tuition. So they go in, you know, they're getting through it. So they get to this part where they had to solve a riddle to get in the door. So they're like, oh, it's gonna be some good treasure in here. So they get in there finally, because he's actually smart. He's smart. So he helped with the riddle. They get in there and there's another riddle. And they thinking, okay, we saw this riddle, it's gonna be treasure. So there's a statue in there, and they completed the first part, which unlock the statue to awaken. So the statue awakened, and it's like looking at them like, all right, just here's the next part. So he tells them the riddle. So they thinking, okay, well, let's try this. Shink, motherfuckers die. So they keep going and going, and everybody's dying left and right. So the guy Wu-Tang, he solves it in his head, but he didn't want to like say anything and die. So it got down to three people. So the other people like, well, we just gonna leave. So right before they left, he's like, okay, I figured it out. He was like, before y'all leave, I know y'all gonna die. So he was like, let me go ahead and do what I think is gonna be right. So he does it, but out of fear, they still left. So it kind of like messed up the ritual. So he end up dying. Instead of getting isekai'd into another world, the world end up isekai'd into his mind. So they end up rescuing him from the cave. But he died in the cave and came back to life, but with a program in his head, a gaming program, where he levels up. So what he sees or what he hears is like a game system. So there's certain tasks he can do and quests he can do within his mind to level up. So at first he's like, man, maybe I'm crazy. So he goes around and you know, trying these quests. He's like, well, what happens if I don't do the quest? And then he got isekai'd into like a world where it's like scorpions and shit. He's like, oh shit, okay, this is real. So he tries to fact check. You know, he's like, can y'all see that? And he's like, see what? He's like, all right, bet. He's like, it's a me thing. So he thought to himself, because he's smart, that's all he had going for him. He was like, well, if I work on my physical quest first, I can obtain the other quest from my physical, you know, attributes. So he raises his physical attributes. When I say this character, Wu-Tang, gets the best glow up I've ever seen in any media form ever. Like, he went from dork, he can't even bitch slap a slime, to being tall, dark, and handsome. The man had drip after he done did all these physical quests. Because like, as he levels up, it physically levels him up too, and his magic goes up. So everybody else training, you know what I'm saying, the regular way, you know what I'm saying, trying to, because they got classes. So it goes all the way to F tier, and then the highest tier is SS, well, triple S. So he goes from F to A so quick. Everybody like, all right, bro, you must have two talents. You know what I'm saying? That's the only way. So he's like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I got two talents. So as the story goes on, he is not the only one.
Oh, shit. That, for real?
Yeah.
Damn, and then that's for the story. Solo level, I'm thinking he the only one that can do this shit. So you mean tell me there's other motherfuckers out here doing the same shit?
There's other motherfuckers. Like, the story gets deep. turns out his dad's involved, and each country has a, I guess, a representative of the solo level.
Oh,
shit. Yeah, but see, they see it different than he is. Everybody's is different based on them. He was a gamer. That's all he had going for him. So it's a power that allows you to relate to it, so that you can level up to harness the full power. Because it takes him a while to harness the full power, and he has to basically go against the person that gave him the power. He's like, "Oh, you done made it to the final boss, bitch! I'm the final boss." So then he realizes what his true power is, which is motherfucking, he's the king of the dead. He can kill something, bring it back to life, and it's slave forever. And it will forever like be a part of him. Like, it can't die. Like, it has MP.
This nigga is OP.
So as long as he can kill you, you will be his slave forever.
Bro, all he gotta do is just go around killing motherfuckers, and he got an endless armor. That reminds me of who was that anime I watched? Hellsing Ultimate. When he fucking unlocked his actual like full, like when they said his name, instead of calling him Alucard, they actually said Dracula, and he unlocked his like dead army, and like they just flooded the streets with fucking like endless fucking hordes. I was like, bruh. That's what made me think of when you said that.
They can level up independently. So how he finds this out, the motherfucker went against this nigga, he couldn't defeat him by himself. And when I say this man was top tier, like basically he was the god of fighting, and he ended up beating him on some snake shit. He had to snakily do it, but he beats him. His entity was so strong that he didn't even listen to his commands, because he wasn't even on the same level as him. So even though he was dead and controlling him, he couldn't control him because they wasn't the same level. Like, that shit was crazy. So he had to level up more just to command him.
Oh, damn.
He could sick him out or bring him out, but he wouldn't do nothing for him. So he had to basically, like, taunt him to fight him, and then kind of get the other person in between their fight. And, like, yeah. So what he ended up doing.
Smart strategy, goddammit.
It was smart. Like,
this bitch won't help me. Let me figure out how I can fake his ass, go over there and, you know, turn his anger towards him so that I can just come up and get the kill for my XP so I can make this bitch bow down.
I know that's going to be the last episode, because when I say when he snaked him and the dude came back to life and realized, because he's so powerful, he kept his conscience. Some of them don't keep their conscience. Some of them do, depending on how strong they are. He kept his conscience. He was like, "Man, you a snake, bro." He's like, "I'm not working for you, bro. I don't give a damn about none of this shit. You have to earn me. You have to earn me, nigga. Every time I come out, nigga, we fighting." And that's what he told him. I guarantee that's gonna be.
Anytime you want me to come out here, I'm fighting you. Fuck what you got going on. Fuck who in front of you. I want your ass to know I don't respect you and I don't like you. So you gonna run the fade with me each time I come out here.
And he snakes him every time he summons him. Like, I remember one time he was going against these ants. It was like the Chimera arc. So he let the strong people fight the top tier Chimeras. While he went to go fight the little ant soldiers, because he knew if I can gather all these ant soldiers and let them level up independently by doing other shit in the dungeon, they will be OP when I finally do use them. So what he does is he gets the dude to fight him. While they fighting, he's blitzing all these ants. All he's doing is rezzing them. He's rezzing them up. Sends the ant army to a dungeon for like a year. So for this whole year, Facts. So when he summons them again, these motherfuckers like got fucking bazookas and shit. Like, they on a whole nother level now. Like, some of them even humanoid now.
So you talking about some terraformers?
Bro, when I say this shit gets deep, because like the more he learns about his power, the more simple it gets. So basically he's like he's the Shadow King. That's the title. Once he beats the final boss, he becomes the Shadow King. So it turns out he's controlling their shadow, aka their soul. Mm-hmm. And when he learns, okay, I'm the Shadow King, let me try some shit, because the man is smart. But he's like, oh, I can teleport to anybody's shadow, and I can summon. He's like, I can summon a person in somebody's shadow. So like, he can basically auto lock a person to a person's shadow. So say if he can give a command to a person and be like, hey, if this person gets in trouble, come out of their shadow and fight for them. Or, you know what I'm saying, that's track cold. Them. Man, it's cold.
That's cold. That's cold. No wonder everybody's saying that motherfucker OP.
He
got an endless supply of fucking skills.
Because the man's mind is like on a different level. Like, this is probably the best character development I've seen in my damn life. Like, the man, he works with what he got. And when it comes to main characters, he's probably the smartest one I ever seen in my life. Because starting off with the power, the only thing he can do is like physical shit, like All Might. Not like Deku. But if Deku was smart and actually researched his power, because that's all he was doing. He was trying to see what he can and can't do, and would go into dungeons to test it out. So when the people found out that he was solo leveling, they started to send their solo levelers. So then that's when you get the little tournament arc to see who's the strongest solo leveler. Yeah.
We're going to leave it at that. This
is going to be the best.
It's going to be the biggest thing.
Like Demon Slayer, it's going to be like how Demon Slayer was, how Attack on Titan was. It's gonna be up there with them.
How Jujutsu Kaisen is, it's definitely gonna run the anime community. It's gonna run the anime world when they come out. It's already got the hype around it, like, and then just from that little synopsis what you just told me, like, bro, I'm probably gonna be watching this shit week to week, and I usually don't do this shit. I usually wait for this shit to finish, and then I binge watch it.
I was reading it.
I might be having to watch that week to week.
Look, I only had webtoons for that. That's the only thing I was on webtoons for. That and the boxer. The boxer is good too. They need to make an anime for the boxer.
Okay, we'll talk more about that one then. The next one that definitely gonna be a big one, and Trip put me on this one. I had went and watched it too. Kaiju number 8. That's coming out next year as well. Man,
I've seen the trailer.
Look like it's
I've seen the trailer.
Yeah, this one's probably gonna be. What would you say this one would be like? You think this one going? It's not gonna be as big as Solo Leveling, but it's definitely gonna be pretty big though. I feel
it's gonna be like Chainsaw Man. It's chaotic, but since it follows the tried and true, there's a demon in my body. You know what I'm saying? Formula.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely gonna be something people watch, and they really can milk it. Like, this is the type of scenario where they can do Monster of the Week, you know what I'm saying, and stray away from the manga just to extend, you know what I'm saying, the longevity of it. Because it's like, at first you introduce to the world, it builds the world up while he's still normal. So, you know, there's kaiju that come kind of like Godzilla Monsterverse. It's like, you know, every so often, you know, monsters just come, the government kills them, and he's a part of the cleaning crew. One of these monsters end up not being dead, end up, you know, hurting him or whatever. He's in the hospital. So I can't remember the reason, but this little worm ass demon comes to his room and like goes in his mouth and becomes a part of him. And it doesn't say much, it doesn't do much, but he end up going back in the field. Same thing happens, the monster, you know, comes up, because like when a big monster comes, it has like little sub bosses that come with it. So it was one of the little sub bosses, and he ended up transforming into a kaiju. So where the number come from is like certain kaijus are so powerful that the government can't handle them. They get numbers, and there's only been 8 to give them a problem, you know what I'm saying, and defeating them. Like, damn near took over the world type shit. This is the crazy part. The first kaiju was Godzilla. They showed like a brief thing of it, of the design. And it was fucking Godzilla. And that shit was funny as fuck. So how they keep up with the kaiju and how they fight them.
I like that though.
So whenever they do defeat a kaiju, they turn their body parts into weapons. And each kaiju has like a core. And the ones that are stronger have two cores. So certain military people are strong enough to handle the monster's suit that they make, because the monster suit still has the soul of the kaiju. So
I got you. Okay. And then, so you guys know, the studio that's gonna be animating this one is gonna be Production IG, and the studio that'll be handling like designs and artwork for the kaiju is gonna be Studio Kahara. And this one is slated to come out in April of 2024. And then with Solo Leveling, that one is slated to come out, if I'm not mistaken, in the winter of 2024. So it'll be a while before we see either one of these. But all the more reason to be ready for them when they come out.
Definitely read the manga. You can go to Viz Media, read it for free. You know, read the first volume for free. And or go to YouTube. They have the manga on there as well, where you can just digest the story. Like, it's definitely some good reads, especially Solo Leveling and kaiju. We're gonna wrap this up a little bit. So, you know, last time we was on the podcast, we was talking about, you know, things to read. Only thing that popped up, there's like a bunch of bunch of manga that pop up, but the one that is destined to be on the front cover of Shonen is I think it's called Icehead Gill. Basically, is a boy in an axe, and all he's trying to do is defend his father's name. So that's all you need for that. It's definitely popular right now. I ain't read it yet, but it looks pretty good. It looks like it's gonna hold up. But news wise, I have some sad news, guys. We have some manga that's ending in 2023, and the names is gonna shock you. Like, let's go with the first one. We have My Hero Academia is ending. Dang. This year. The author has already stated, Horikoshi, he's already stated that he can't continue drawing the characters no more.
We can get, you know how many people do fan art and shit? We can send him some drawers over there to help him, and they'll probably do this shit for free.
But see, this is not his first manga. You know, this is, I think, his third one. And this is the one that hit different from the other one. Right now in the manga, it's in the Final War arc. So with that name, we might be seeing the end of My Hero Academia. And the next one that is confirmed to end in 2023, Jujutsu Kaisen is ending.
Well, we saw that coming though. Like, I mean, I figured that was gonna happen with the Shibuya arc getting ready to come. Like, there's no way. Like, you gotta think about it. Like, how do you top that? When it comes to that, like, how do you top that? Like, don't get me wrong, they got more to, you know, put out, but like, after that, I mean, you can pretty much just like sit down and, you know, how Thanos did, just look at the world like, it's done. I'm doing what I needed to do.
It's a good story. It's a good story. Mm-hmm. He set the tone. Like, we collecting 20 fingers, and then boom, you know what I'm saying? It's not an overarching thing like Naruto, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just straightforward. And, you know, sometimes we appreciate stuff like that. Yeah.
Trying to like oversaturate it. So like, I'm good with it. Cause that's one that people, that's like, it's already indoctrinated as one of the best anime.
It's the seventh highest grossing anime movie. The movie that came out, it's the seventh highest grossing movie of all time when it comes to anime movies. And so you the reason.
I contribute. I contributed to that. Yes, I did. Shit, that shit was good every time.
And I know, like, if you casual.
Please go watch it.
Yes.
Please go watch it. And you don't have to watch the anime to watch this movie. This movie is, like, pretty much before the actual anime begins. So you can watch the movie. The movie, like, will set the tone. This movie will fucking set the tone for the anime. I swear to God, it will set the tone for the anime. You'll want to watch it because you're going to want to see more.
And then the next one that people might know is on Netflix. It's an anime called Noragami. It's a good anime. Definitely should watch it.
It is.
But the manga, which was created by two people, it started in December 2010, and it's in its final arc right now. So it should be ending in 2023, or if there's no interruptions, it might end in 2024, early 2024.
Now, my thing is with that, before you go into the next thing, now, Noragami is so underrated. Let's just get that out of the way. Noragami is so underrated and not talked about enough. That is a fucking great anime. Now, are we going to get more of that, though? Or are they done? Like, are they not going to get any, they're not going to get any more anime adaptation for that manga, huh? It's just done right there where it's at, right here on Netflix.
So, like, the way it works is Noragami used to be a part of Shonen Jump. And the reason why my manga news is short, because there's manga that come out every month. New manga. But they don't make the cut because nobody reads them. You know what I'm saying? When they do the polls at the end of the month. So, at the end of the month, and then when the monthly Shonen Jump comes out and it shows the cover, everybody that's on that cover is the ones they voted to stick around. The bigger they picture is on that cover is, you know, where they ranked voting wise, which is where we got the big three name from. The big three name came from, you know, these were the top three mangas that people were reading and reading a lot of. Mm-hmm. So their pictures were big on the covers, but there's always like other people on there. But that's where that name originated from. So like now you really don't have a big three, you just have One Piece and Jujutsu Kaisen and Demon Slayer already ended. So like 9 times out of 10, Luffy's gonna be on the cover of Shonen Jump with everybody else being the same size as, you know, their counterparts. And with Noragami, it moved from Shonen Jump to the other Shonen web magazine. So they're not slated to, one, make money. You know, it's just a series that's, you know, ongoing. And two, they're not a part of, you know, the cash grabbers. So there's no like funding from Shonen to, you know, do something about it. Kind of like Berserk. Berserk, you know, went from the Shonen adult side to Black Horse to I think it's with Dark Horse now. And you see what happened with them. They had to independently get funding for their anime, and it was horrible.
Yes. This is true. This is true. This is very, like, this is so true.
Which segues into the next little bit of news. Spider-Man and Wolverine are getting a manga in Viz Media, and from the visuals it looks good. You know, it looks damn good. So be on the lookout. Go to Viz Media. You can read stuff for free on Viz Media. And speaking of Viz Media, they also publishing an English version of the horror manga made by Junji Ito. If you're not familiar with Junji Ito, just search him on YouTube. You know, viewer discretion advised. But basically he had something to do with The Shining. He was a producer on The Shining, and as you see, that movie was a good movie. Like, he's the king of horror. He would make you scared of ice cream. Kid you not.
He make you scared of ice cream.
The way he writes, the way he draws, it like reels you in to something sinister.
Sick mind, honestly.
Yeah, it's worse than sick. Like, he can look at a chair and be like, I want that to be scary. And he makes that shit eerie, scary, you know. And he never gives, when he does a story, he never gives the origin of said creature or whatever, you know what I'm saying, is in it. It's just the story.
It just came,
and it's like Jeepers Creepers, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't really know the story, know how it operates, but you know, that's
you
it.
You just know it appeared someday, and then it just started causing havoc, and just like now, we know every so often this motherfucker gonna come back to life and fucking kill, and you know, cause havoc, and then go back to sleep type shit.
Mm-hmm. And then that's what crazy. Else? And what else I got? Oh, so for the people who watch Pixar, you know, the movie Turning Red, the boy band, I think it's Four Town, I think that was the band's name, they're getting a manga this year.
This is crazy. Who would have thought?
So if you want to see their story, I guess, manga form, you know, be my guest, go to Viz Media.
That's going to be weird. I ain't going to say it's going to be weird. That's just odd. Honestly, it's like, it just came out of nowhere. This is like a curveball. I don't even think it's a curveball. It's like a curved ground ball. Like, what the fuck is this?
I fuck with them a little bit. But that's all the news I have for this week.
Okay. All right, then we're going to transition into a little bit of gaming news. I'm not going to give y'all too much. It ain't a lot really going on in gaming. It's a couple new games coming out. The big one right now that's going to be coming out this month on the 6th is definitely Starfield. And this is produced by Bethesda, who did Fallout 76. And it's going to be an Xbox Series X and S exclusive. So this is an open-world role-playing game in which players assume the role of a miner tasked with finding artifacts across the galaxy. So you can alternate it from first and third-person perspectives. You interact with various characters, complete quests, search for supplies while battling enemies. It'd be humans, robots, aliens, whatever, you know. And I think what's going to really sell this game is the exploring aspect of it, because you get to explore like a vast fucking solar system in this game. I mean, I think they said it's like approximately like 50 light years. No. How many different solar systems they said they had in this game? I can't even remember.
It's a lot of like, shit. It's a lot. Yeah,
it's a lot. So pretty much it's set to be like I was saying, approximately 50 light years within the solar system, and it's at a place called the settled system, and it's around the year 2310. That's fucking far as hell away to think about. And it's with these two large factions, the United Colonies and the Freestar Collective, and they're engaged in what they call the Colony War.
Gang war.
Yeah, it's pretty much intergalactic gang war. Just put it like that.
Yeah. So you're elite, or you a motherfucking slime?
So you got an intergalactic gang war. I ain't gonna lie, the visuals look stunning. So if you got like an Xbox Series X or S, definitely cop this game. It's gonna be on Game Pass for you to get early access to also. For free.
You can build your own you can build your own settlement. Like your own, yeah. You know, you can get on a planet and build your own little, you know,
your own colony. Much. But people can join. And then the customizations on there are insane. Like, you can customize your shit, you can customize your character. I mean, it's a lot to customize on there.
But there ain't a lot of black hairstyles.
Yeah,
I see.
You just couldn't get the ethnic groups hairstyles down. I'm just sorry.
It's the same, you know, crew cut. That's what they call it. But you know, you got the fade, you got the waves, and the dreads, ponytail. And the fro. We can't forget the fro. Y'all had the fro.
They gonna have the fro. They gonna have
and the
fro.
And the dread ponytails. The lock
they
ponytails.
They had it all the time. They got cornrows.
I ain't seen none.
Oh,
I seen
none. They had cornrows in them.
No, they ain't have it. But the customization of the face, like you can probably make anybody facially.
Yeah, that's gonna be like the hottest thing for Xbox as far as gaming news.
Yeah.
Another thing, what's up?
No, I just say, oh yeah.
Yeah, then another thing, this is for my anime fans. So if you are a fan of the Fate Stay series, so they have a game called Fate Samurai Remnant that'll be coming out. That's coming out this month, actually. It's coming out September 29th of this year, and it's going to be on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Switch, and it's going to be on Steam. So pretty much it's during the Kenan era, the Edo period, and it's been several decades since the last blood-soaked war era ended. And right now they're in a time of peace and tranquility until there is a battle between masters and servants. And any of my people that have watched Fate Stay or any of those series from that anime, it's like you already know this is the Holy Grail War. Like this is the Holy Grail War where we got masters and servants competing against each other to try to, you know, win the Holy Grail so they can have whatever wish they want granted. But in this game, they call it the Waxing Moon Ritual, and it's following Miyamoto Ori, and he finds himself caught up in the violence of the Holy Grail War. So Miyamoto is going to be the main protagonist of this game, and pretty much he is going to be the one that has the Saber class. So if you, like I said, if you watched Fate Stay, you know that, you know, the main character usually ends up with the Saber class character. I think Fate Stay, yeah. And he ended up as the, I forgot what, as, I think it was just Archer though, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, so like he ends up as the he's the main protagonist. He has the Saber class, and they do have all of the classes in here from the actual anime as well. So they have the Lancer, the Rider, the Caster, the Assassin, the Berserker. And then with this game, all of those classes have rogue variations. And with the Lancer class, what's funny is the Lancer's class rogue variation is actually the Lancer that is well known within the fucking series. The guy with the blue hair and the red spear, the blue armor, he is actually in this game as the rogue variation of the Lancer. And I thought that was pretty cool that they threw him in there as one of the rogue variations. And pretty much the rogue variations are like some enemies that you'll be fighting along throughout the campaign and story as well. And then to me, like when I saw like the final boss looks like Gilgamesh from Fate Stay Unlimited Blade Works. I mean, he looks exactly like him. So, you know, he'll be all powerful and he's going to have some, you know, devastating moves. Like the gameplay for this game, it kind of reminded me of, like, I don't know if anybody's ever played this game or if you played this game, Trip, like Dynasty Warriors. And it kind of like had like that Overwatch-esque like kind of like look, but it's definitely a really, it definitely looks visually pleasing. If you haven't, go check out the trailers for it. The trailers look pretty nice, and you can catch some gameplay on the website for it too, where you can see like how it's going to play out. It looks pretty good. I think it's going to be a really nice one for anybody that's looking for like some kind of new anime style game to play. Just a couple things that's happening with some of our battle royales. Fortnite Season 4, Chapter 4 has started. I'm bringing a whole new battle pass, new cosmetics, new challenges, and just, you know, new map POIs and just new maps and things like that. So, and I think that started, if I'm not mistaken, at the end of August, if I'm not mistaken. So definitely, you know, check out Fortnite Season 4, Chapter 4. Call of Duty Warzone Season 5 will be getting ready to hit the scene soon as well. So be getting ready for that.
I play Fortnite all the time. And, you know, they got the skins. Like, they got the whole Marvel MCU skins on there. They have They had Jujutsu Kaisen last week. So if you didn't get that, oh well, you know, you had a free skin. It was a free skin. Right now we're doing heist. So heist are back. Sniper rifles are back. And Call of Duty is trying to copy Fortnite with powers and skins. They're trying to be more aware, I guess, culturally aware. Mm-hmm. So we got Nicki Minaj in Call of Duty, and we got 21 Savage. 21 Savage dropped yesterday. I ain't got my hands on him, but I think I messed with Nicki Minaj before. 21 Savage, just from her voice lines, like playing it and hearing her talk ish the whole time, like it's like 21 Savage, he reminds you of like your buddy that you play the game with. Like, oh, I'm down, you know what I'm saying? Like, ain't that really, you know, his skin clean though, but
he ain't talking no shit. Like when he get a kill, he ain't saying slaughter gang bitch.
I wish he no slaughter gang.
Oh, they fucking up. They could have really caught some with that one. They should let him his voice lines. Like he should.
Nah, Nicki did a good job. Nicki, she did a good job. Like she went and talked to Ish.
Yeah, ain't Snoop Dogg in there too?
Yeah, but you can't get him right now. He was like he's an OG skin. And the boys, if you watch on Hulu.
Was it Homelander?
Yeah, Homelander. His powers and him, he's on there.
That's crazy. I ain't played Call of Duty in a hot minute, so I ain't
even. Me either, but I'm going to play for that.
I ain't even got a chance to really even look at this stuff and just see what it's about. Then you got, you know, Modern Warfare 3 that's going to be coming out this year, too. And, bro, I ain't going to lie, the zombies is what's going to get me. It's open world zombies.
Okay, all right, that's different. I hope it's different.
So pretty much like the premise of it is like it's like 20 teams that drop into the map, and like pretty much you're trying to be the last team standing going against all these zombies and shit.
So it's like I don't know if you played
like you drop on like Resurgence or like one of those big maps. It's like kind of like that.
So PUBG had this mode where it's basically, you know, regular mode, but they added zombies. When I said shit was chaotic, that shit was chaotic. You know how in regular zombies you can get them to follow you? You know what I'm saying? So people was using that as a strategy. You know, having a horde of zombies follow you as you go find people and kill them. Yeah. You know, it was dope. So for Call of Duty to do that with their graphics, I can't wait.
Yeah, I want to see how it play out. I sure want to know, like, you know, it's going to be a whole bunch of Easter eggs and shit in there. So I want to see, like, what the community finds out with that new game mode. I know it's going to be dope. I always love they zombies. Even they, like, what was it? I think it was on Call of Duty Ghost, their little alien mode that they had instead of zombies. I even like that. So it kind of, like, puts me in the mind of that because, you know, that was kind of, it wasn't, like, open world, but it was kind of, like, open roam, you know, through this, like, linear area. But yeah, a couple of the new games that are coming out, well, a couple of games that I thought would be interesting if you like just want to go check them out is one called Wayfinder. It's out right now. So pretty much you become a wayfinder and you unlock your power, choose your path and different play styles because you want to try to control the chaos within the world, because chaos is trying to take over the world. And you have endless customizations. You can play this with friends. Pretty much it's set on this world called Evanor, and it's shattered, so you have to try to, you know, harness your power, control chaos, so that you can, you know, pretty much, you know, bring things back to, you know, normal levels and make everything, you know, nice and peaceful and tranquil again. So you can customize the way you play. Every experience and every like playthrough is different, and you have all these different dungeons you can go through. You have, you know, modifiers and challenges you can conjure, control, customize, and beast. boss encounters, materials collect. It's just a lot you can do on this game. You have a variety of unique abilities ranging from arcane magic to lethal melee, mystical tech. I mean, whatever your preferred playstyle is, they got a playstyle for you in this game. And I mean, it's an immense world where you can, you know, traverse it with friends or solo, and, you know, plenty of enemies for you to fight. Like I said, plenty of boss encounters, all that good jazz. So I definitely think this is a game to kind of, you know, be on people's, you know, just to kind of, you know, just kind of check it out, you know, see what it's about. I know that they had like, I think it's free to play for some as well. I think free to play for Steam, or if you sign up, you can play it for free or something like that. But yeah, it's pretty nice. I definitely say go check out the trailers. It's kind of reminds me of Dauntless a little bit, but a little better.
Yeah, I had heard about that game. If we would have went to Comic-Con that year, I think that's when they originally announced it, when they also announced Starfield that year. I think it was that year when they announced it. It took them about five to 4 years to get it situated. They definitely took their time with this. That and Starfield, I think they both are, you know, products of passion.
I would agree.
Mortal Kombat.
One. Go ahead with that one. Go into that one for us.
You know, since Mortal Kombat 11 came out 4 years ago, NetherRealms have did a soft reboot, and now we have Liu Kang as the, you know, fire god, and he's changed the world for the better. But we have an entity, an unknown entity, coming to, you know, thwart his peaceful way. So the story follows basically everybody, you know, coming into who they are while trying to keep the peace. So in this one, Mortal Kombat is started by Sindel and her ex-husband. And we see a lot of people origins change, but you know, I like the change, and the combat itself has changed as well. So it's definitely, if you just like Mortal Kombat, it's definitely gonna be a good pickup, because I think this Mortal Kombat is going to be better than the other ones for sure.
Yeah, I seen a little bit of gameplay on that Mortal Kombat. The combat does look like it looks like it's really smooth. It looks like they kind of slowed it down a little bit too. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
Yeah, it could be good and bad. It could be good for people who are, you know, technical. I think this is more technical, kind of like Tekken, but Tekken takes it to a fast pace. You know, it's slow input wise, but you know, you got to push a lot of buttons to get to where you're going. Like with Street Fighter, they took the easy route out and made a fucking easy mode to where you put one button for a combo. And I mean, straight, another game that people, that comes out every year, we know about this game, 2K, NBA 2K.
I was sure gonna say, you wanna talk about 2K while we here? Cause that was sure on the list.
Yeah, 2K24 comes out next week. And it's just like every year, you know, just to update your roster. But next gen is getting crossplay. So now you can, you know, talk shit to PlayStation players, talk shit to Xbox. And then my career is a little more simple. I heard that there's going to be co-op my player. Don't know how true that is.
Oh, really?
But yeah, a little birdie of mine said there's going to be co-op. Wow. Story mode. And there's going to be a wreck where you can play solo. So you don't have to play with real people. You can just play with bots and level up that way. And they also brought back the rep from 2020. But VC is still. You do. So that ain't changed.
All right, so 2K, you heard it here. It's gonna be the same. VC gonna cost a lot. Updated roster. Oh yeah, then they got all those different editions for 2K too. You got the Ultimate Edition. You got the Mamba Kobe Edition. You got the Kobe Edition. You got the, what is it, the W Edition with the WNBA players in it too.
Yeah, man. Ain't nothing different.
Yeah,
just but, the crazy thing is when you buy them editions, you don't even get the damn cover to that edition when you play it. So when you buy, like for instance, sure, if you bought the Ultimate Edition,
mm-hmm.
whenever you play the game and you know how it has a thumbnail, it was the thumbnail for the regular cover. It wasn't the thumbnail for the cover you bought. So it's like not worth it visually.
Yeah.
Now physically, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I get cold cover physically. But I go to my local GameStop and steal that.
He said I go to my local GameStop and steal that.
Yeah, fuck GameStop.
Please.
They've been scamming for 20 years now.
Oh yeah, they've been doing that. They gonna keep doing that.
And I'm gonna keep scamming them back. We just gonna be scamming each other.
Hey, right, bitch, that's
what it is, man. All right, trade call. So you get 50 cents.
So like the next two games I'm gonna talk about. One of them is called Immortals of Avion, and this is a first person magic shooter. So you'll take on the role as Jack as he joins an elite order of battle mages to save a world that is on the edge of destruction. Alright, and this is a pretty much a new studio that's working on this, and its name is Ascending Studios, and this is their debut game, and it has pretty much been described as Call of Duty with magic. So you can pretty much just like you play as this like I said, this character Jax, and you pretty much just like cast spells and, you know, go through this campaign to, you know, try to stop this this group of battle mages that are trying to create chaos and, you know, bring destruction of the world. And to me, it kind of looks like and what was the name of this game that just recently came out for PlayStation? It was a magic game too. I can't even think of the name of it. But it looked so good, like all the different magic spells you had. But like, it pretty much reminds me of that game. If I can remember, I think it was like Atlas or something. Let me go double check. Yeah, it reminded me of Atlas Fallen. So the way that you can, and it kind of reminded me of Atlas Fallen and another game that was called, I think it was like Forsaken or something like that. Forspoken, that was the name of
it.
Forspoken?
Yes.
Oh man.
The powers was amazing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's like that's what the powers remind me of on this game.
Like,
so
like,
yeah, it's Call of Duty with
her gaining abilities was fucking awesome. But just her as a person, the story as a story was fucking trash.
Yeah, it was a little lackluster, but like her powers were amazing though.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and this is gonna be for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC, and it's out right now. So you know, if you want to check out Call of Duty with guns, with magic, check this one out.
Avion right now. I'm go play it. I'm go boot it up.
I'm gonna go to Avion right now.
I seen them graphics. Man. It's like Call of Duty graphics and magic. Oh man.
Yeah, man. But that's all I got for gaming news right now, brother.
All right. And we'll hit y'all up next week with some more news.
Y'all stay geeky out there.